Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today as we face the issues. It's my delight to be with you. This is Dr. Youngblood. Today we have a wonderful lineup. Unfortunately, part of the lineup is as a result of the events down in Orlando in the past few days. But let's talk about some of those issues. One of the major things that I want us to understand is that as we speak of the issues, whether it's theological, doctrinal, political, social, it's a bit from a biblical worldview, we have only one resource to go to, and that's the Word of God, the Bible. In fact, the Bible says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32, and then in John 17:17, the scripture says, thy word is truth. So therefore, as we seek answers, I pray that you will be cognizant of the fact that the only source of real truth is the Word of God. We've had several things to take place in the past few days that somewhat altered the direction that I had planned on going in for the day's broadcast. But I want to talk about two or three things, if time will allow. The Islamic terrorist attack in Orlando. Secondly, I want to talk about the DeVall School Board that will be meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll talk about the urgency of that for everyone that's available to be in that meeting. And then the third thing that we want to touch on, and I pray that if you have questions or comments on any of these subjects, that you would call us at 401, that's 904-401-1413, 904-401-1413, and join in the discussion, asking your questions or commenting. May I remind us that we may disagree on some of these issues, but we will not be disagreeable. So I'm hopeful that you can discuss them with a sense of intelligence and or truthfully seeking the answers. But let's go immediately to the subject of Islamic terrorism. I find it disconcerting that the president, even in his national speech or address to the public after the massacre in Orlando, failed to even refer to it as a Islamic terrorist attack, when in reality that's what we see has taken place. Now, there are some that will say, and I've had two or three today even, well, based on the people that were there and what was taking place, they deserved it. Well, let me say, first of all, that these individuals that were slaughtered and those that were maimed and injured, we need to pray for them and pray for their families. They were brutally slaughtered in this, the Islamic terrorist attack. But may I remind us to remember that each person that was killed, each person that was shot, is somebody's brother, somebody's sister, somebody's daddy, somebody's mama, somebody's son or daughter that deserves our prayer and consideration. Now, may I hasten to say, though I would be the first one to agree with you that the location and the activity that was taking place in that lounge, that disco, that setting, some 300 people packed in, it was a disgrace and a stench in the nostrils of God. But may I remind us that God loves them, each one that was there, just as he does you and me. God created us, and each of us are created beings created in the image of God, and therefore the slaughter of any life is that which is an affront to God and is against the Word of God in any fashion that you look at it. But when we see what had taken place, I find it disconcerting also that some of the politically correct leaders want to talk about, well, we're not certain if this person did it on his own, if he was a lone wolf. I don't even like that term, by the way. Lone wolf. What is a lone wolf? They're saying we're not certain if it's a lone wolf or if he acted at the behest of radical groups of Islamics, i.e. ISIS or others. Well, he said himself. In fact, he called 911 before the shooting and made the statement that he was doing that because of his allegiance to ISIS. I find it somewhat unusual that intelligent people that's in the leadership roles of our city, state, and nation, they want to disclaim that and discredit that, is wonder what he really meant. Well, let's set the record straight. When it comes to Islam, we're at war. Our nation's at war. The war was declared on us. We didn't declare war on Islam. And some have said, well, we shouldn't be at war with a peaceful religion. I've studied the Quran. I've had the privilege of studying what is called the Noble Quran, which is the only issue of the Quran that is respected by the Islamic scholars. If you're an Islamic scholar listening, I challenge you to call and debate the issue from your own book called the Quran. You've got 3,000 surahs. We call them verses in the Holy Bible. In the Noble Quran, there are 3,000 surahs. 87% of the 3,000 surahs have nothing to do whatsoever with religion, either peaceful or otherwise. 87% deals with ideology and a corrupt way of life. 87% deals with some form of hatred and malice and enmity toward the world. Because you see, the word Islam itself means submission. The goal, the ultimate goal, the ultimate desire that beats in the heart of every Islamist is to bring the world into total submission to Allah, Islam's God. By the way, Allah is not the creator control of the world. Allah is not the God of the Bible. Allah is the moon god of the Bedouins. And when Muhammad went into the Kaaba box, he went in and found 360 gods, little statues. He tore them all down except Allah. And that became the god, the moon god, that is the god that is worshipped by Islam. And today, Islam has a motivation around the globe to bring all of the globe, all of the world's population into subjection to Allah. Muhammad was a pedophile. Muhammad was a demon-possessed pedophile. The term demon-possessed comes from his own words, speaking to Khadija, one of his wives, when he told her that he thought he was demon-possessed. And based on all that you study about Muhammad, he was a demon-possessed pedophile. In fact, out of 12 or 14 books that I've had the privilege of researching and writing, I have before me the one that's about 350 pages, Is Islam Tolerant? And I don't ask that as the question that I have, but a question from the title of the book that multitudes have. And the succinct answer to that is no. Surah 3:151, we shall cast terror into the hearts of those that disbelieve. That's all non-Muslims. If you are killed or die in the way of Allah in jihad, you have forgiveness and mercy from Allah. Surah 2:190, fight in the way of Allah, those who fight against you. And their terminology, fight against you, is anyone that is against submission to Allah. They consider that a fight against them. By the way, 325 or 30 pages in the book, but some of the quotes that I give in the 24th chapter, some of them read like this. Franklin Graham said, Islam is a very wicked, evil religion. John Wesley, by the way, that lived 1703 to 1791, said, ever since the religion of Islam appeared in the world, espousers of it have been as wolves and as tigers to all other nations, rending and tearing all that fell into their merciless paws and grinding them with their iron teeth. I could go on and on with dozens and dozens of those that have made statements in relationship to Islam and what Islam is like. But may I hasten to say, this book, by the way, is available in our bookstore here on campus, Conservative Theological University. We've got about 6,000 titles, about 130,000 volumes. You can go online to conservative.edu and scroll down to the bookstore and go into the bookstore web portion of the website and place an order for any of the books. One of the perhaps most intriguing titles for today's current news, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion, that I wrote back in 2012, and we're seeing that. In fact, in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, the scripture says in verse 1, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." May I suggest that we're there? Getting back to the, by the way, if you would like to call and have any input on this discussion or ask questions in relationship to the discussion, 904-401-1413. That's 401-1413. I encourage you to call and let's have a little dialogue in relationship to the subject. The ACLU, by the way, has come out in the news today, and they announced that the slaughter, their words, not mine, the slaughter in Orlando is because of Christians and conservatives and their stand against homosexuality. Well, let me say this, as conservative Christians, we need to take a stand against it. But again, I go back and say to you that all of these that were slaughtered, it was not of their doing, it was not their fault. It was as a result of Islamic terrorism. And the design purpose of Islam and its terrorist approach is to cause us to bend the knee and submit to Allah and Islam. And there's a misnomer in society about who Islam really is and what they really are. There's some that say, well, you have the moderate Muslims. And others say, well, you have the radicalized Muslims. And some that say you just have the peace-loving Muslims. Let me suggest to you that the next time you have dialogue with an Islamic, and I've had multitudes of opportunities to do so, there's a pretty good litmus test. Ask that Islamic person, he may be a co-worker, a neighbor, next door to you in some fashion. You may know him in the transaction of business. Be kind and courteous and cordial as a Christian ought to be. And ask him a few questions. Tell me something about your religion. First of all, ask him, do you read the Quran? If he says, yes, sir. Do you believe that Allah is God? Yes, sir. Do you believe that Muhammad is his prophet? Yes, sir. Do you do your five prayers a day? Yes, sir. Do you believe that you ought to obey the Quran? Yes, sir. And if they answer those five questions in that fashion with an affirmative, given the right opportunity, that person will kill you or me. That is the nature of Islam. So we see what happened in Orlando. It's as a result of the continuing attack, the jihadist attack against America. And it's designed to frighten and petrify us into submission. And coming out of Washington, we have an unusual phenomenon. We have the highest paid undocumented worker in the White House that is an empirical president. And his philosophy is that we're going to protect Islam at all costs. Anytime something happens with the Islamic jihadist attacks, the first thing he wants to do is attack our Second Amendment right, saying that we do not have the right to keep and bear arms. The whole purpose and goal of this administration, and by the way, for the Hillary Clinton candidacy, is to absolutely shred our constitutional rights of religious liberties, freedom of speech, and the right to keep and bear arms. But on one side, they're saying, we're going to protect Islam. We're going to shroud Islam from anything. By the way, it's in all of the FBI manuals and the Secret Service manuals and the CIA manuals. They have the philosophy that somehow, some way, we can protect Islam at the same time protect the sodomites. And by the way, I don't say this in a denigrative fashion. You will not find homosexuality or gay in the scripture. It's sodomites. And the word sodomy 38 times in the scripture. Eddie, I believe you're on the line with a question. I believe we have a caller on the line, Eddie.
Hello?
Evident. Eddie, you're there?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you?
Great. Thank you for calling. Tell us what your question or comment would relate to.
Oh, I was going to call in, not in the current subject of the FBI and Islamic and all that, which is a fascinating conversation, But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about tomorrow, the public hearing of the city council about the gambling expansion bill that's going on, and just your people know about it.
I'm glad you called, and if I could comment on that, Eddie, I understand that meeting's at 7 o'clock at City Hall with the city council. And by the way, for the listeners' edification, you may want to comment on that and tell us what the city council is planning on doing and what they're planning on and how they're planning on carrying it out.
Yes, sir. What they want to do is they want to put the they're on the working on behalf of the dog track and the card show, their card room there in Arlington. And the card room people, best bet, they want to expand gambling slot machines into their facilities. They want to get the city council to pass the referendum and then put it on the ballot for us in Jacksonville to vote on it in November. It's a great concern. Obviously, you know all the bad elements that come with it, but it also is just bad for the economy of Jacksonville because they're just taking money from small businesses and giving it
to. Well, Eddie, I appreciate you bringing that to our attention and recollection. Let me say a couple of things, if you don't mind, on that.
Mm-hmm.
I would urge every citizen of our Duval County to go in and stand publicly against the slots. If they are allowed to put this on a referendum, there are a number of people that will ignorantly, and I say that with all due benevolence, ignorantly vote yes on it because it will be sold a bill of goods that is going to enhance the revenue. It's going to bring in more tax money, and therefore we'll have a better tax base. They may even lie to us again and say that if we increase the gambling by way of the slot machines, and I understand it's about 2,000 slots they want to put in over in Arlington in the card house. If they do that, it'd be the largest gambling slot machine operation in the state of Florida outside of the Indian Reservation. Northeast Florida become the capital, gambling capital of the state of Florida. Every city, every community, every county that's allowed this type of gambling to come in, the welfare rolls skyrocket because of moms and dads taking the last dollar, and rather than buying groceries, they will buy a slot ticket or go to the slot machines and drop their money in it. May I remind us that every county, every city that's allowed the enhancement of gambling, as we're talking about for Duval County, we enhance the fatherless homes, we enhance the wife and child abuse in the homes, we destroy the home. It is the most undermining, denigrative aspect of anything that our city could talk about. By the way, I don't mind saying this very openly. It is obvious to me, my most humble opinion, that we have some city council members that have probably already accepted bribes from the gambling industry for them to put this even on the table to talk about putting it on a referendum. Just as the bribes that had been paid by way of dollars going into the contributions to the candidates for office for the city council, 13 of them, in my opinion, accepted bribes at that time. We have a wretched city council that about 13 out of the 19 members are not for the 98% of those that are moral, ethical people in our city. I say we need to vote about half of them out, and we need to take a stand publicly and say to them, we're not going to allow it. So let me say again, the city council meeting is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. I urge you to be there. Don't be bashful. Don't be ashamed. Plead with them and confront them. If you can't to vote against this, if you take a stand for this, we're going to remember you at the ballot box. That's the only thing our city council members and any other politician understands. But thank you, Eddie, for your call. And I believe we've got Joshua on the line.
Thank you.
Joshua, go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. You were discussing Islam, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. There's definitely a radical element within Islam, and you could say they're all radicals, but actually, I've had many discussions, and I lived in the Middle East. Hello? Hello?
I'm present. Do you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm getting a busy signal.
I'm getting a busy signal too. I don't know what's happened.
Okay, but as long as you can hear me, great. So, the Ishmael, the progenitor of the Arab race, was called the blessing God gave to him. He'll be 12 tribes in Genesis, but he'll be a wild donkey or wild ass of a man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him.
That
I'm
is correct.
Sure you're familiar. Yeah.
Yes.
But when Abraham passed away, Isaac and Ishmael both had somewhat of a reconciliation they attended Abraham, their father's funeral, and in Isaiah and Jacob and Esau didn't have a perfect reconciliation, but they had one. But isn't there one in Isaiah 19 that has more of a futuristic flavor to it? In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian will come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. And in that day, Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land, whom Yahweh Sivaoth, the Lord of hosts, shall bless, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, Assyria, the work of my hands.
When you stated that in the context of chronology in the scripture, that is talking about the day of the millennial reign, that is after Christ returns, and Christ is the Prince of Peace, and when he sits on the throne out of Jerusalem, he will rule and reign, and there will be peace, prosperity, and plenty on a global basis. But this wiping away of the enmity between the Ishmael and the Isaac, and that is, if you will, the Jew and the Islamics today, it won't happen in our lifetime until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. That is the beautiful thing about the scripture, is that one day there will be peace, but until Jesus Christ comes, there'll be no peace between the Jew and the Islamics. Their desire is to push Israel into the Great Sea, that is the Mediterranean, and the whole fight in Israel today is not for peace. It is not for a dividing of Jerusalem into a two-state solution, as several of our past presidents have ignorantly believed would be possible. There's no such thing as a two-state solution. The only solution, as far as Islam is concerned, is to destroy the apple of God's eye, the Jewish people, and every Christian around the globe. Shame on any Christian that does not pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shame on any Christian that does not take a stand with Israel. Shame on any nation that does not take a stand to stand with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and stand for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yeah, I happen to be a Jewish believer, and I lived in Israel for 7 months many years ago.
Well, God bless you, brother.
And by the way, there are friendships between individual Arabs and Jews.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
There's plenty of individuals. Yeah, but as a whole, you're correct, and I believe this is the future millennial reign. But whenever I speak to a group of Muslims, I try to bring this out to leave on a positive note, in spite of the carnage many of them are causing.
Yes, and if they follow the Quran, it's an impossibility. Let me say again, if they follow the Quran, it is an impossibility for them to have a heart that will be softened toward Israel or the Jewish people as a whole.
God bless.
God bless you. Thank you for your call. Yes, it is an interesting thing when you study the scripture and find where we're headed in our nation in relationship to Islam and the diabolical terrorism that is taking place as a result of it. Let me quickly touch on one other note while we still have time. If you are listening and you'd like to call in to comment or to ask a question, 401-1413, that's 904-401-1413. The other issue that's coming up tonight, 6 o'clock tonight, at the school board is the discussion of the open bathroom bill. Dr. Vitti, our superintendent of schools, let me just say right off the cuff, you may like me or hate me, you may love me or whatever. I'm not concerned about that. I say that we need to ask the school board to fire Dr. Vitti. He ought not to have the position as superintendent of schools in our county. When we send a child to school, your children are mine, grandkids, I've got 10 grandchildren. When they go to school, I look for them to be put into a safety arena, that they're going to be looked out for, their welfare taken care of. But with the open bathroom mandate by the empirical leader out of the White House that demands it to take place, fortunately we had some states like the state of Texas and 13 other states that have joined in a class action suit against the Attorney General's office and President Obama for issuing that wrongful, that unconstitutional, illegal edict. But yet Dr. Vitti immediately says, we're going to open all of our locker rooms, all of our shower rooms, all of our bathrooms, so that anybody that has the sense that I'm male today, he may be male, and he might decide, well, this minute I feel female, and that person would have the right to go into your little girl's, your daughter's restroom, locker room, shower room, and be exposed to pedophile, perverts, and those that are, they call themselves transsexuals. I am appalled by it. Go to the school board tonight. 6 o'clock. Stand and do, let your voice be heard. Demand that this not be done in Duval County. I think the die is already cast. I think that the majority of the school board, as I understand it, have the feeling that, well, Dr. Veed is right. We're going to have the open bathroom bill for our schools. Again, let me urge you, call in. Go in, visit each of your school board members and demand that either Dr. Veedy change his position or that we fire him. We do not need someone like Dr. Veedy leading our school board if we're going to destroy the privacy, the protection, the integrity of the educational process by allowing the perverts and the pedophiles to go into the little girls' dressing rooms, locker rooms, shower rooms, and bathrooms. It is an absolute stench in the nostrils of God. God gave us our children. They are a blessing from God. They ought to be viewed as treasures that we honor God by protecting them and taking care of them and providing safety for them. I'm delighted that we've had the privilege of discussing these things. We'll carry some of these issues over in our tomorrow's broadcast. If you've listened today and did not have an opportunity to call in, but you wanted to do so, I urge you to do so. I enjoy the dialogue, the discussion, and sometimes even a good little debate is all right as we talk about these issues that face our nation. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you for the blessing that's ours as we depend on the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allowing that He's the only hope for our world today. So if you've not met Him, you've not invited Him as your Savior, I encourage you to do so even today that you might have the blessing of knowing Him as Savior and as Lord. God bless you and thank you once again for tuning in. And tune in tomorrow as we face the issues.
And president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast? 666. And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.